So my mom is passing. I'm dealing with it. I'm praying about it. But I have to keep moving.
Right.
I have to keep moving. I have to keep doing whatever I'm, the things that I have responsibilities for. I have to keep moving. I have to keep making sure that my kids are okay. I have to keep checking with you as much as I can. I'm not great at it, but I have to keep moving.
A little bit. I mean, I felt like a little bit I was losing the only mother that I had, but knowing that I had a mother still walking the earth, I just was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't.
And your relationship was different and unique, and she was your mom, you know? And I think it was a blessing that God allowed your relationship to grow that way.
Right.
And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for it.
I know that God did me a favor in helping me to process those feelings in that way, because from the time that we saw her at the convalescent home, which was in early March, maybe the end of February, early March, to the time that she passed was maybe about a month. It's about a month. She passed in April of
April.
2018. And when she passed, I think it was a weekday. And you had gone to work, and we had just been there the Sunday before. And your sister called me and was like, "I think Mom is about to transition." And unfortunately, we didn't get there before she transitioned.
Yeah.
She was already with the Lord when we got there. And so that was really difficult because I had not told the kids. When we got there, they were like, "She already transitioned." And so the kids had always known her to just be resting. And so when we got out the car, and they told us that she had already transitioned, Pastor Garvey had come out to be with you.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, "Okay, come on, Deja." I mean, not Deja. Deja. Okay. Come on, Halima and Gray. Let's go say hi to Grandma, Granry. Let's go say hi to Granry. And then let's tell her to have a good night and that we would see her real soon.
Right.
And so I took the kids in, and there were a lot of people in the house.
Yeah.
And I took them into the room, and I think that was the first time that I had been in the room since she had been home for longer than a second or two. And so we went in there, and the kids were just like, "Wada, wada, wada," talking to her like always, because that is what they had known. They didn't know at the time that she had transitioned, because they weren't familiar with death in that way. I mean, you could definitely tell that she was no longer there.
Right.
And I instantly switched into like a mode that I don't understand, because some years back she had showed me the cabinet and told me the things. And I instantly switched into whatever gear that is that I didn't want to be in, but I couldn't stop. Like, something else was driving me at that moment. And I think it was the Spirit helping me to do the things that I was asked to do. Yeah, I know that it was the Spirit of the Lord that was asking me to, or helping me to do the things that I needed to do. Because I never cried. And all things came back to mind, like from years back. It was as if she had just told me. And I was working with then Miss Charlene, who was helping us, who was there at the house helping us, and trying to do the things that we needed to do. And I would be that way for the next month because her service didn't even happen until May.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be that way. Not really ever shedding a tear. Like, I felt emotion, but I never cried for like a month.
Yeah. I guess you guys are going in, and then, I don't know, I guess maybe Pastor told you first.
Yeah.
I mean, I was parking the car still, and you went in, and then we were on the porch, and Pastor came and told me, our pastor, came and told me that she had passed, because I was still in, like, we were driving, because it was like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not an hour and a half. We were in, what's that? It took us, for whatever reason, it took us a long time to get down there. Or it felt like it did. And so we were just trying to get there before she passed. And when he told me that she had already passed on and went to be with the Lord, is the 30 seconds or so that I dealt with it. So I fell down and cried for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And then the pastor said, "Get up, son." And
yeah.
I got up and that stuff too. Then I had to go in the house and be
Pastor Evans,
little big brother and husband and father, and Pastor Evans had things to do.
Right.
So I think that's at least partially why people had a hard time, like,
understanding, like, understanding. Why we, like, right. Feeling like we were okay.
Yeah, thinking we're more okay than we were, because you were taking care of business, because that's how you are, and that's how the Spirit was holding you.
Right.
And then I was being Pastor Evans, and that's how he was taking care of me, you know? And I remember vaguely people like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'm good." And I mean, I wasn't. But I needed to be,
right.
So I could be.
But people weren't asking me if I was okay. People were asking me if you guys were okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were concerned about the kids.
They didn't know your relationship.
It bothered me, like, later on, like,
yeah.
What's happening? But at the time, I was just, like, in work mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had encounters with death with my uncle and my grandma. My father's mother when I was really young. My grandfather when I was 16 on my father's side. And then my grandmother and her brothers some years before Miss Evans would pass. So I had encounters with people passing on. But I took this extremely, extremely, extremely hard. And I know the reason why. Because I felt like I had been gifted a mother-daughter relationship that I had been missing my whole life. And so I felt like I didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
And I realized that probably a lot of people, even if your parent is 96 years old, you feel like you didn't have enough time.
Right.
But for me, I felt cheated.
Mm-hmm.
Not by God, but by life. Because I already know that to be absent from the body is present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was always grateful that, because she, you know, was hurting and she dealt with a lot of illnesses, and that she could be free from that
right. Was
amazing. But that I would have to do all the things that now I was being asked to do as wife, which I had never had to do wife without her. And I had never had to do mother without her. And that I would have to do those things without her guidance was tough. Because I didn't have to experience those things without having someone who I cared for in a way that I was unexplainable to me, and still have that person care for me as mother, right? Because I'd never had that. And so the result of that was, like, right after that month that I was on autopilot, I like cried for 8 months. Cried so much that I would later like have vertigo, and I would be dehydrated and have dry mouth, and I would have eye twitches. I mean, I was a mess. And going through that kind of felt like a betrayal to God, because I'm like, I should not be going through this because I know who God is. But the realization that even though I knew who God was, I was going through this, but I didn't feel like I felt like I couldn't say anything because of the feeling of being alien, or of the feeling of having a, like a, not having a true position to say, like, this is hurting. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't her biological child. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the ways that it was coming out, because I didn't feel like I had a safe space to say it out loud. Like, a lot of times we have our relationship with Christ and that's good, but he gives relationships to us on earth so that we can relate to one another. But I didn't feel like I had a place to relate. Because I didn't want anyone to feel like, that's not even your mother. Like, why are you tripping? Mm-hmm. I didn't want that. So the lesson that I learned was that as a daughter-in-law, or for some of you as son-in-laws, your relationship with your in-laws is as important as your relation, as their relationship with their children. Mm. And that don't let anyone tell you that the way that you feel about your in-laws is not valid. Is not appropriate, or mm-hmm. whatever, while they're alive, and or even when you're going through the process of grieving them when they have to go on to glory, because it really can wreak havoc on your health. And you may have a family or work or whatever your priorities, and you don't want that to weigh on your priorities. And I just didn't have that wisdom at the time. To know that, you know, if I continue to feel this way and I don't express myself, I'm going to cause all kind of health issues. And eventually I went to therapy because I just couldn't get over it. And that helped me a lot. And I was able to, like, then process and realize where God had brought me from. And I could see a little bit of light of where he was taking me.
I think the thing that's probably most important out of all this is, one, just take advantage of the time you have. Mm-hmm. Communicate, over-communicate. Express your love for your loved ones. You know, whether it's a parent, we're talking about parents right now, express your love for your parent. And then the other thing that I learned is that I don't think it matters if you're expecting it.
Right.
I don't think it matters a whole lot that you know how life works. Mm-hmm. In that moment, in the time, it's okay to feel those feelings and emotions. And the thing that I did was, I needed to keep moving. I don't know if that's necessarily the best way to handle it. You have things that you have to get done. But I didn't, after my 30-second cry, I didn't really allow myself to feel a whole lot until I ended her eulogy. Mm. And I felt like I let it go somewhat. I still let some go. But I feel like that's when it really and truly sunk in, as I finished making jokes about her height and praising God for her life, that I wouldn't have her with me on the earth anymore.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter if it's expected, if it doesn't matter a whole lot if you have time. Take advantage of all that time. So yeah. Well, that's it. That's all.
That's it. That's all. See you next time.